Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's begin to praise the name of Jesus in this house tonight. Come on, let's open this night with a shout of praise unto the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's lift him up in this place. Come on, let's create an atmosphere where the Holy Ghost can move in this house. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, we thank you for another year. God, we praise you in this house. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, it was my cross you bore so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve my praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Gone, I stand amazed in your love undeniable. Your grace goes on, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve. As your glory fills this place, you alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens. As your glory fills this place, you alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens. As your glory fills this place, let's begin to lift up the name of Jesus. His name is above every other name. Come on, somebody praise him in this house. Hallelujah, hallelujah. just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom, I speak Jesus. Oh, 'cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine from the mountains, Jesus in the street, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Oh, shout Jesus from over every enemy. Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Oh, shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness, over our healer. Call the name of Jesus. is our provider. Somebody call him, call the name of Jesus. I know he is our protector. Call the name of Jesus. He is our deliverer.
In the house of the Lord. Oh, we worship you, Savior. Come on, let the men worship the Lord tonight. Let the leaders of the home worship the Lord tonight. Come on, let the leader, let the worshipers of the church and the leaders of the church. Oh, lift your voice and give God praise in the house. We love you, Jesus. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Amen. I heard it just said recently that the signs and the sounds of a growing church are singing men and crying babies. That means there's growth. That means there's revival. And then that means there's leaders in the home, leaders in the church. Come on, can we just love the Lord again tonight? Can we just thank him for what he's doing already? Can we praise him in advance of what he's going to do tonight? Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. We want to welcome you to Northwest Apostolic Men's Conference 2026. This is our seventh annual men's conference. We want to thank you for being here tonight, for your support and the effort to empower men, strong men. Amen. The goal strong men build strong families, and strong families build strong churches. Amen. Our goal is to unite the fight for revival in the Northwest. Amen. And see revival happen until Jesus comes. Amen. I'd like to tonight to recognize all of our pastors, evangelists. If you'd please stand tonight. All of our pastors. I know there's some in the house. Praise God. Let's give our pastors. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. God bless you for being here. Thank you for being seated. Amen. I named names tonight with Lopez. Now, Brother Borders just told me before church that he wasn't pastoring. He's not an evangelist, but he stood up, so he's got to be pastoring. We'll just label it that way. Hey, they're healing folks. They're praying folks through. They're doing Bible studies. They had 19 in service in their home the other night. Thank God for revival. Thank God for revival. Brother Tingley, cousin from Moses Lake. I'm glad he's here tonight. And Brother Evan Hood, all the way from Carson City. Amen. our newest Idaho pastor, Brother David Bertram from Salmon, Idaho. Thank God. And Brother Aaron Mayo from Cornerstone South. We're glad he's here tonight. Amen. There'll be more here probably later tonight or tomorrow, and we'll recognize them. We're honored that you all are here, took time out of your schedules to be here, and we're thankful for the men who took time to be here. We couldn't do it without you. Thank God for the pastors, but thank God for the men that support the local church. Amen. There's value. Let me just tell you, God sees your faithfulness. God recognizes your faithfulness, and we're honored tonight for that. Amen. We're glad to have HGR in the house, Brother Jeff Hoffer. In person, we're glad he's here tonight. And I guess the signs of growing conference is that you get vendors. And so we have a vendor tonight, Apostolic Gentleman. And so if you want to go by there after service tonight, after the altar service, be more than welcome to do that. Looking forward to tomorrow with Brother Daniel McDonald preaching for us in the morning, and then followed directly after that by Brother Jeremy Wilbanks. It's going to be a great time in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's worship the Lord tonight. Let's give him praise. Come on, let's lift our voices to heaven.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Why don't we stand as we prepare to take an offering to support men's conference here tonight? I couldn't help but be a little bit overwhelmed when we started to worship together, that I got to worship with my boy here tonight. And it reminded me of those special moments I had with my own dad when I was growing up in the church. These are sacred moments, men. And I've served now in the Pacific Northwest for a little over 20 years, and I gotta say, for us to have a men's conference to call our own, to have a men's conference that we can come. Now, I'm thankful for everything they're doing in California. I'm not gonna hate on them too much right now. I'm thankful for what's happening across the country, but thank you, Jesus, for a man of God and a church that took on the burden to provide something like this for the Northwest. Anybody thankful for that? Anybody thankful for what God is doing in the Pacific Northwest? I'm thankful to be a part of it. And I want us to pray and prayerfully support what God is doing here. This ought to be the most blessed men's conference in all the country, because we're the most blessed men in all the country. Amen? Let's pray here together as we prepare to take up an offering. Lord, I pray, move on these good men, these strong men, these faithful men, God, to support what you are doing here in their cities, in their towns, in their states. God, I pray, bless us to be a blessing. Bless us to be a blessing, God, to what you are doing in these men. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would bless this offering to the furthering of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I don't know if there's ushers that are going to come forward. Amen. Let's prepare to give in Jesus' name. God bless you.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Your voice You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. Oh, in all my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so.
Faithfulness. Let's thank him for his loving kindness. Surely goodness and follow after me all the days of my life. Oh, let's worship the Lord. We got some time tonight. Come on, has God been good to you? Come on, has he been faithful? Oh, mighty King, mighty Savior, mighty Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight as we're singing that song. Begin to think about 3 men's conferences ago. My dad, who, to the best of our estimation, was out of church at least 49 years. And I know that because he came up on my 50th birthday. Didn't know he was going to be here, and spent some time with us in October and came back in December. Decided he wanted to move to Idaho, and his first night of men's conference, God filled him with the Holy Ghost, and he's been here ever since. He's on the front row again tonight. We're thankful for it. Come on, all my life, when I didn't know it, when I didn't see it, when I wasn't Come on, God is faithful. God is just. Come on, we got something to be thankful for tonight. We got something to give God praise about tonight. There's a God permanence. When I didn't see it, he was still there. The cover may have been on it, but when God pulled back the cover, he was faithful all the time. Amen, amen. And we're so honored tonight again to have all of you men. I want us also to remember, you can be seated. I know this may seem like a little bit of a downer, but we just recently, city of Nampa, been blessed to be the pastor here almost 11 years, along with Brother Lopez just down the road. But our mayor, Wednesday night, just as church was starting, crazy enough, I mentioned him in service that night, 47 years old. He passed away suddenly while giving a speech in Eagle, 47 years old, got wife and children. And you say, why are you bringing this up? Well, first off, he's a soul. His family's a soul. Our city is our field of labor. We care about that. We care about the direction of our city. But several years ago, we were downtown Nampa in a very prominent business area of town. And the city decided to open a bar right behind the church. It's not legal. It's against code. They asked me if I wanted to fight it, and I said, if you want me to come downtown and make a speech and make a big deal about it, no, I'm not going to. Let the code and the statute fight for us. Needless to say, they passed the deal and let the bar open. Not only was it a hard liquor lounge, it was a cigar lounge. So you can imagine the cigar smoke that wafted across the parking lot into our church. But one council member wrote me a handwritten note saying that he would fight for us. He was not happy with the decision, and it was who was now the mayor. When he was a councilman, he fought for us. When he was the chief of staff, he fought for us. I had the pleasure of meeting him at a faith leader's dinner. I wouldn't have gone, but they called me four or five times. They showed up to church on a Sunday morning. I thought, I need to go. I got there and talking to all these people, and I thought, why in the world did I allow myself to do this? We walked across the parkway, and I heard a man say, hey, Pastor Bray, it's good to put a face with the name. I turned around, and it was Rick Hogenbaum, who was the chief of staff of the mayor at that time. He said, now, you guys are Pentecostal. He goes, are you oneness Pentecostal? I said, is there anything else? He said, I didn't even know we had a oneness Pentecostal church in the city of Nampa. I said, well, you have and you do. And he said, well, this is crazy. He said, back in my younger days, I was seeing a girl at high school. She had long hair and dresses. And I thought, oh, she's cute. Because I went to her church. It was a Oneness Apostolic Church in Southern California. He goes, I know what you are and who you are. So I'm going to tell you something. Losing him, we lost an advocate within the city, but we did not lose the advocate of the city. But I want to pray for him and his family. I want to pray for the city of Nampa. If you would indulge me tonight, would you please stand? All over the house. I think it's right. The Bible says pray for your leaders. We need to pray for his family. We need to pray for our city. Because they're still souls. They still matter. This just happened Wednesday night. And here we are in the first event in the Nampa Civic Center. Let's just pray for the city of Nampa, for the Hogenbaum family. Savior, we love you. We praise you. We ask you, Lord, right now to reach your hand from heaven. Comfort his family. Comfort our city. God, raise up a leader, raise up a person, raise up, God, the person you want to be there. Raise up an advocate for your people. God, we want to find favor among men and among God. I pray that you would touch and give us revival in this city. Touch First Christian Apostolic Church, I pray, Lord, in the valley of Treasure Valley of Idaho, that you would give a revival, that you would give us souls. Come on, you got much people in this city, Jesus. Do it tonight, Savior. Oh, can we clap our hands one more time unto the Lord tonight? Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I feel anticipation in this house. I feel revival in this house tonight. Amen. If you're all standing, we're going to get ready to turn it over to the preacher. We don't do a lot of preliminaries. We have a lot of singing. This is a preaching conference. I grew up Truth Tabernacle Fresno. Brother Von Morton's my pastor, 86 years old. He just preached last Friday night at 86. See, Chuck Norris didn't even make it. But Von Morton's still kicking. No pun intended. Some of you will get that later. But he preached on Friday night at 86 years old. This January, he'll be 87. Let the church roll on. He preached Acts 2:38. He preached Deuteronomy 6:4. He preached that heaven, holiness within, holiness without, separation from the world. That's what I grew up on. I didn't grow up on preliminaries. I didn't grow up on all the singing and all the choirs. I grew up on apostolic preaching. Thank God for the singing. Thank God for the worship. But I thank God for apostolic preaching. Amen. I grew up in the PSR days. Three speakers in the morning, two at night, five nights and 4 days, and you were in a Christian school uniform in the front row, whether you liked it or not. But we loved it. We had great church, and we're trying to build that atmosphere and that legacy here. And one of those preachers that was a part of all of that, in fact, preached several youth retreats that I was a camper at, was Brother Miles Young. And I was driving down the road one day, and this is the truth. He can testify to this. I was driving down the road up here. Had to go way out to Star and do some business. I turned the corner, and lo and behold, there's New Hope Road. And I thought, on the corner of Heartbreak Ridge and New Hope Road, I know who's preaching men's conference this year. So I called him and asked him. He said he would. We're thankful he's here tonight. He's a revivalist. He's a church builder. He's a church planner. And we're going to hear a word from the Lord tonight. Come on, can you clap your hands and give God glory as the man of God comes to the house and preaches to us?
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Come on, now lift your voice and shout while you clap your hands. If God's been good to you, why don't you give him a shout of thanksgiving? We honor you, oh God. We magnify your name. There's nobody in all the earth like you, God. Holy, righteous, marvelous, wonderful are your ways, oh God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. What a privilege it is to be here. And I have looked forward to being in church tonight. This is the first time I have ever been in church in Idaho. And I'm enjoying this more than y'all because this is my first time. This is old hat to y'all, but I'll never forget this one because you only get one first. And I was here with you. I was here with Brother Bray and my friends. Amen. I'm looking forward to hearing these great men of God. Anybody looking forward till tomorrow? Till tomorrow. Amen. I appreciate the leadership of this host church and this city. There's a number of friends and pastors here. Good to see all of you. Amen. And I think I can see Brother Sargent through the haze, through there, the light. Amen. Many years of working together. And when I first came to the West Coast, I grew up, I guess you could tell I'm from Midtown Manhattan by my accent. No, I grew up in Louisiana, and when I came out west to California, one of the first pastors that I remember meeting was 6'9", and his hands were the size of my feet, and that was your grandfather, who was at Chowchilla at the time, and I knew whatever he preached, I was just going to say, yes, sir. I didn't want to get in trouble with that man of God. And so the Bray family on my time out west is from the very beginning. And then Brother Morton, one of the first places I was ever invited to preach. So we have roots way back. Amen. And I am honored to be here. And if you have your Bible, I'm going to direct your attention to what may not appear to be very men's conference-y, but I don't know how the rest of these pastors and preachers are. Sometimes you get invited to preach somewhere and you immediately get a word, and then others you just kind of wait on the Lord. And then sometimes you get to the meeting, you try to get a feel for it. Well, my plane didn't land until right at 5 o'clock. I didn't get a lot of time to get a feel for anything. I got some barbecue trips. It's been my dinner. Are we going to eat afterwards? Okay. I had to go through San Francisco, and I don't know. They didn't give us nothing on the plane. So I'm not going to preach long because I'm hungry. But I will say this. It was probably 3 weeks ago that I kind of directed my attention. Okay, God, I'm headed to the conference for the men. What is it? And almost within a matter of moments, this thought came. It's a sermon that I've only preached one other time to my memory. And I didn't even know if I could still find the notes for it, but it just kept growing on me. And I prayed about it and began to do some research. I dug out some old stuff. And I felt like God spoke to me. So if you'll bear with me, let's go to an out-of-season text. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 6. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 6. Holy Ghost Radio, good to see Brother Jeff Hoffer and all those listening live or later. Wherever you are, we believe God's going to touch you today. Thank God for Holy Ghost Radio.
Amen.
Verse number 6, Matthew chapter 1, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias. I think that's in there just to make sure you remember God knew about how that happened. Skip down to verse number 16, and Jacob begat Joseph the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away unto Babylon, 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. And most of the time, by the time we've got here in our manna reading, we are already bored because we really don't care about 14 generations, much less three versions of 14 generations. And then he shifts more to something more appropriate to our thoughts. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Now, from what we would normally read at the Christmas holiday season, I want to preach a men's conference. something that God gave me a number of years ago, and I feel that it is fitting to men. I want to preach the man chosen to be father. The man chosen to be father. How many want to be the man God has called you to be and chosen you to be? Could you lift your hands, put your Bible down, lift both hands up as a sign of surrender, and ask God to begin to anoint your mind and heart and spirit today? God, I'm praying that you would anoint my mind, my lips, my thoughts. But God, anoint every man to receive your word right now. We've praised you, we've magnified you, we've given. Now, Lord, we're opening up our heart. Let your word fall on good soil, God, to bring forth much fruit. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise before you're seated. You may be seated. Tomorrow's going to be a wonderful time, Brother McDonald, one of the premier Pentecostal preachers. You're going to leave impacted, and then my dear friend, Brother Jeremy Wilbanks, a scholar, and it's going to be great. So until the good guys get here, I'm the hors d'oeuvre. Amen. Man, there's a good spirit in here. What about that? What about that worship team? Did they do an incredible job? Amen. Powerful singing. I was raised on preaching too, but I did get a lot of singing in, so I appreciate that singing tonight. The man chosen to be father. Matthew's gospel, I don't think we need a lot of emotion to get things going. We're men. We like the facts, right? So let's get the facts of this together tonight. Matthew's gospel, we know scholarship and deep study, and it's evident by what the Gospels do that there was intentionality to Matthew's writing of the Gospel that we call the Gospel of Matthew. And it was written, and this is borne out by scholars, and as you read through the verses and things that seem boring and disconnected to our modern way of thinking and our Western mindset, there was deep intention to Matthew giving all of the details he did and writing and presenting the stories in particular fashion and even the way things were described later on. I don't have time to get into all of that, but let me just explain just briefly. The reason these genealogies are there is because Matthew was writing primarily or firstly to a Jewish audience with the intent to explain that Jesus was qualified to be their Messiah. This was why things were worded the way they were. This is why the lineage is given. He is proving that this one Jesus who is going to give the story of the nativity of Jesus, he's telling them that this is the one that qualifies through all the law and the prophets. He qualifies to be Messiah. This is the reason he begins under the unction of the Holy Ghost to give the lineage of Jesus. He proves and writes to them the background, the family tree, that this is the son of David that was prophesied about, that this is also one who has come as a son of Abraham. He gives this genealogy, and in the narrative, he provides the line that goes all the way back of Joseph to David. And he wants us to know that Jesus qualifies. And in doing so, he gives us the details of Joseph's lineage, the man that was chosen to be father. Now, think with me a moment. Nobody in this room got to choose their father. But as crazy as it sounds, God did. God picked who would be his father. Now, right there, that just bangs around in our brain. That don't even make sense. But the reality is, he did. And this is the guy that he chose to be his earthly father. Now, this is a Christmas text. I understand it. And most of the time, and thankfully, and it's needed, there's a lot of preaching about Mary and how special Mary was and how this was a woman that was obedient to God. And often the story of the birth of Jesus is focused on Mary. But I'm not preaching at a women's conference. I'm preaching at a men's conference. And it wouldn't be real appropriate to preach about Mary, especially if we're not Catholic. But we're Pentecostal. Let's preach about Joseph was not a priest. Joseph was not a prophet. Joseph was not a king. Now, if I was God and I was going to become a man, I mean, I like being around cool people. I love rubbing shoulders with the who's who. You know, let's just, you know, that's how we started the conference off talking about he knew the mayor. I mean, that's cool. You knew the neighbor, right? And when we meet somebody, we're all that way. We got a connection. We want that. And if I was God, when I think about everybody on planet Earth that I would pick to come, let him be my father, I can probably think of some high and mighty dudes through history. What would it be like for Abraham Lincoln to be your dad? What would it be like for George Washington to be your dad? Yeah. Or Elon Musk? You probably have a weird name and a weird mom, but I mean, that's the way we think, right? But when God picked his father, he didn't get a priest, a king. He didn't even get a pastor. He got a working Joe. He picked a working man, a carpenter. A man that the word in the original is tecton. It didn't just mean he was a carpenter. It meant that he worked with wood, he worked with stone, he worked with metal. And there were no Makitas and there were no power tools. If you're working with stone, you're swinging a hammer and you're placing a chisel and you're burning at the forge and you're working at the foundry and you're hanging. There was no sheetrock. There was just rock. You're making the mud that's going to be the wall. You're not attaching it to anything. You're making the bricks and you're hauling the bricks. And this is who God picked. So every man in here, I want you to think God's got a special affinity with every hardworking man. There's something that God could have chosen everybody. He didn't wander down to the Starbucks, to the little Frappuccino section. He went looking for somebody that knew how to swing a hammer. He went to learn to see somebody that knew how to sweat and knew what it was like to feel pain and to smash a fingernail and get a splinter. Hey, I want to tell every young man in here, learn to sweat, learn to work. Because when God went to look for a father, he went looking for a working man. I was sitting in the coffee shop the other day because I like Frappuccinos. And I do. But I've started wearing my cowboy boots and cowboy hat right up in the middle of those coffee shops. And they look at me like I'm a zoo animal. I love it. But I got to looking around the other day in that coffee shop, Brother Hood, and I thought, my God, if America had to defend herself with the cats in this room, we're in trouble. So when God began to put his plan into operation, he went looking church needs. It needs a baptism of hardworking men. You know, that's what your marriage needs. That's what your family needs. That's what the church needs. I thank God for every man that talks in tongues and runs the aisles and shouts and sings but I'll tell you what, at the end of the day, when the doors close and the lights are turned off and Monday morning starts, we need men working. We need men serving. We need men that aren't afraid to roll up their sleeves, because at the end of the day, tongues doesn't make the bills pay. And at the end of the day, all the aisle running don't get a lot of work done. But working men make it happen. If you don't remember anything, remember this. If you're a hardworking man in the kingdom of God, you've got a special connection with your God. Punch somebody. If it's a ladies' conference, I'd say slap your neighbor, but punch your neighbor and say, I'm a hardworking man, are you? Amen. How'd that fight start? Well, the preacher said, punch somebody. You may be seated. Out of everybody he could have chosen, he chose a hardworking man. And I find that in itself incredible. But if you thought the preacher was going to be done that quick, you ain't been around Pentecost long enough. That was just the beginning. There's actually a little deeper dimension to why this man was chosen, I believe. And yes, it was the right family. Matthew took the time to show that. And there was the right lineage that went all the way back to David, and Matthew showed that. But as I read this 2 or 3 years ago, it came alive to me, and I want to share with you. Now, the birth of Jesus was on this wise. There was a betrothal. Our world's a little bit different. About the closest we get is to an engagement, and it's really not anything similar except a pre-announcement, and then at our church we try to keep it within 6 months, and then there's a wedding. But you have to understand that in biblical times, a betrothal, an espousal, was something much more sacred. It was something much more in legality, and even biblically, scripturally, prior to even this event, this was an old scriptural custom, the way it was done, and there were laws that were attached to it. And Mary had been espoused to Joseph. And the Bible doesn't give us all the details, but what we do know historically is families would come to an agreement. Oftentimes it involved more than just the couple. It involved the families. And as this commitment was made, it was a type of covenant between these two individuals. And there was a process. There was a preparation. And there was serious thought to it. It was a formal thing that would take place between families and often involved even payment of property or of goods that were done, and covenants were signed and agreements were made. It was a very biblical process. Pledges were made and gifts were given to the families on either side. And so you didn't just like wake up tomorrow and say, I'm not in love anymore, and you're out of it. It was much different in that day. And betrothal began first in the Genesis account, scholars say, to the story that involved Rebekah and the servant. When he gives the details of what betrothal rules were and what would happen, and you can take the time to read that account, but there were very strict rules about a woman that was betrothed if she were to be with child, and there were rules that if she had been taken by a man in the city or taken by a man in the field. And if she was not betrothed to somebody, there was a particular rule. If she was betrothed, there was a particular rule. And if she was in the city and did not cry for help and was raped or taken advantage of, if she had not cried out for help, evidently she had been part of the process. They were taken outside of the city and stoned. If she was in a field and no one was to hear, then the man was taken out. Why? Because this woman was betrothed. And if she was, the language of the Old Testament was that if she was found. So this idea of betrothal and pregnancy outside of marriage is not so cool as we make it at Christmas. This was something very, very serious. This was something that Mary could have been stoned for. The pledge of a woman was part of the law of Deuteronomy, and there it was. And so here, this groom, also part of that custom was, from the time of betrothal, the groom was not to see the bride, and the bride was not to see the groom. They were separated. And if you study the tradition of antiquity, and you will learn what the process was, you see it in eschatological terms, is that when the betrothal would take place, that man or that son would return. If you've ever been to Israel, you've ever been to Capernaum, maybe you went to Peter's house, there you will see that the houses were built often in circle. There would be a big circle that was the father's house, and then up to three generations the sons would build onto the house. Most of the time it was three generations, because by that time the grandfather had passed on. And so what would happen at a betrothal is the beginning process of preparing a place for his bride. So the father's house was there. And then the son upon betrothal would begin the process of building the place to bring his bride. And when the father's approval, he would say, "All right, all things are prepared. Now go get your bride." And that was not a time that was known. They didn't have wedding announcements. But there was a trumpet that was sounded by the friend of the bridegroom. And they would sound the trumpet, and everybody would know that the time is now. It's about time to consummate the marriage. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. There would be a parade. The betrothed groom would go out to go get his bride and gather her and bring her back. This is the language of Scripture. "For in my Father's house are many mansions." I'm going away, but I'm going to prepare you a place that where I am, there you'll be with me. I don't see my groom, but he's coming back for me. Come on, he's preparing some stuff. Come on, there's something you and I are working on. Hallelujah. And that's what's happened somewhere prior to all of this, is there's been a betrothal and Joseph has been preparing. But the point of that is he hasn't seen her. And then the Bible says, and Mary was, how was she found? Have you ever thought about this story? I know we're trying to get to the presents in Christmas dinner, that we don't think much about this part of the story. Mary was found with child. How did Joseph find out? He didn't see her, because did somebody show up at the shop? A concerned friend? I mean, just think about it. So he's at the shop that day, and Levi shows up. "Dude, I need to talk to you, bro." "Yeah, what's going on?" I don't know how to say this, bro, but you okay?" "Yeah, what are you talking about?" You seen Mary?" "No, bro. I'm working on the place, man. I work all day, then I'm going to get the house ready, you know. Man, it's not going to be long. I'm waiting on my dad to give me the approval, but, man, I'm getting close." Why do you ask?" "You sure you hadn't seen her?" I mean, how do you tell a dude that, right? I mean, what happened was, or maybe it wasn't that, maybe Elizabeth, women like to talk. I mean, have you ever thought about how, I mean, think about Joseph. Somebody told him. And you know, I have not seen her since the betrothal. And she's pregnant. Now, we know the end of the story, but let's turn that off. Let's just be Joe for a minute. Working Joe. Hammer swinging Joe. Lumber carrying Joe. Rough Joe. Do you think he got mad? I don't know. I mean, he's just annoying. God didn't pick a priest, a prophet. I took time to do it. He picked a working man. And it's hot and there's no air conditioner and he don't have any power tools. And he just found out his engaged wife is pregnant. Now, how would a normal working man react? There was probably a hammer thrown. There's probably a saw blade bent. I don't know. And maybe he pushed the dude out of the room. Or maybe I'm going to go tell a little bit. Quit talking about it. I mean, I don't know. But it came to his attention somehow that Mary is with child. The shock. The roller coaster of emotions, tears. Imagine, he knew he had not been with her. He had not even seen her. And now he finds the woman that he's pledged and betrothed to has betrayed. He doesn't know the story like we know it. All he knows is this woman he loves has betrayed him. The family's in shock. The friends are in shock. He's sick within himself. And here it is, the hurt, the betrayal. And for him, it's over. I'm done. But it's at this point that I believe we see the real reason that Joseph was chosen. Being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, but was minded to put her away privately. In spite, think about, boy, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. In spite of everything she's done, in spite of every way she's hurt him, in spite of who she's been with, in spite of everything she's done wrong and how broken he is, in spite of what his family's going to say, in spite of what his friends are going to say, he would not allow judgment to destroy her for her mistake. And God was looking from glory. And he said, I got a job to do. I got to redeem lost humanity. They have betrayed me. They have sinned against me. They have broken my covenant. But I need a father. I need a man that knows how to work. But I need a man that also doesn't want to bring judgment and wants to find a way to help a broken situation out. Oh, I'm preaching about a man that God said, that's the kind of character I'm looking for, because that's the kind of work I've come to do. She had betrayed him. You may be seated. She had broken her vow. She deserved to die. But here was a man that said, I will cover for her failure. That's the reason he chose Joseph. He didn't know the rest of the story. He didn't have the information. All he had was a broken heart and a woman that he loved. But there was still love so deep in him. Even if I'm never with her one more time, if I never see her again, I'm not going to bring judgment upon her. In fact, I'm going to do everything I can for her to be okay. And God said, that's the kind of man I'm looking for, because that's exactly what I want to do for a lost world. They betrayed me. They broke the vow. They walked away from me. They've spent all their living. Oh, but I want to redeem them anyway. Come on, men. That's the kind of man God's looking for. God's looking for a man that's not ready to fight. He's not looking for a man that's ready to take vengeance. He's ready for a man that wants to redeem. Hallelujah. He had a mind to cover her failure. You may be seated. He was a mind. He was a mind. That means he was thinking about it. His thoughts were, how can I protect her in her failure? How can I help her and not let judgment destroy her? And it was in that vein of thought that the angel of the Lord shows up. While he's trying to figure out how to get her out of the situation, because she was supposed to die. While he's thinking, how can I help her? He wasn't thinking. The angel didn't show up when he's mad. The angel showed up when he's trying to figure out, how do I help her? How do I cover her failure? How do I cover her sin? Hey, 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 hey. Slow down, dude. Everything's all right. Things aren't like you think. The angel shows up to the man that God chooses to be father. A man that's not looking for revenge, but a man that's looking to protect the fallen. While he's figuring it out, the angel of the Lord shows up and says, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not. Don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife. What do you mean? Because that thing in her, that holy thing, is of the Holy Ghost. And here I see another glimpse. Another glimpse of why. Boy, you got to hear this part. Boy, I just want to kick the devil right now. Hallelujah. Brother Bray, there is not one mention of him going, prove it to me. There's not one mention of, okay, you're going to have to show me because this is, no, there's not one argument. There's not one debate. I know we preached about Mary saying, nevertheless, at thy word. But I want to tell you, there was also a man that said, whatever it is, I'm just going to take you at your, I don't have to have God appear in the, and tell him, I'll just take the word of the messenger. Oh, you missed that right there. He took the word of the messenger and he said, I'm all in. All right, I've been looking for a way and I just got a word from the messenger of God and I'm all in. I'll be obedient to the heavenly vision. And the angel looks at him, you may be seated, and says, you shall call him Jesus. Not the king, not the high priest, not Mary. Joseph, you're going to name the boy. Joseph, verse 24, Joseph being raised from sleep did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. No argument, no debate, no going down to the doctor to have a DNA test, no fleecing the Lord. Okay, well, if you'll let the cloth be wet in the morning and dry in the night, hey, God, if you'll send three prophets by here. No, he just got up and said, all right. That's what the angel of the Lord said. That's what the message from heaven was. All right, where are we going? Let's do this. Mary, let's go get married, baby. What would happen in the apostolic church if there arose a generation of men that says whatever God's word says? Preacher, I know you heard from God. You're the messenger. What could we do if we had the spirit of Joseph and God was saying, when I pick who a father is, I need a working man. I need a man that's ready to help those that have made a lot of mistakes. And I need a man that knows how to listen when I give direction, because I can change the world with that kind of man. Come on, men's conference in Napa. This is a day where strong men need to rise up and fight for the lost and heed the voice of direction. Hallelujah. He was an obedient man. You may be seated. Then there's another little detail that all the men in here, the real men, will understand this. The Bible said he knew her not till she had brought forth Jesus. Here's another glimpse. He did not want there to be one sliver of doubt. I'm going to leave it like that. You're mature enough to understand.
Yes, sir.
Because if everything that angel told me, and I don't even understand it all, but if it's of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to let God finish what he's got going before I get my desire. I got some desires. I love that woman. There's a whole lot I could say and do, but I tell you what, I'm going to seek first what his will is. Now you're starting to see it was more than just a hard-working man. This was a just man. This was an obedient man. This was a spiritually discerning man. This was a man unlike everybody else in town. This was a man that was made to match a Mary. This was a man that knew how to sweat. He knew how to fight. He knew how to build. But he also knew how to listen to heaven. He also knew how to hold back and be patient and wait on the Lord and say, I know in due season everything will be all right. But I came to preach to somebody. That's the kind of revival we need. You know how we're going to win the Northwest? It's going to be with men like that. That men that know how to work and men that know how to hear from God and know how to be patient and know how to be disciplined and know how to be discerning. He understood that God's plan superseded his own desires and his own fulfillment. You may be seated. Joseph was chosen to be father because he was a man. Strength, humility, obedience, determination, deep thought, and spiritual discernment. There's so much in this. Even in chapter 2, we didn't read it. You know what happens. Herod goes on a murdering spree. And Joseph takes the family to Egypt. Some scholars say it must have been about 4 years because of the death of Herod. And think about it. That wasn't his kid. I know every pastor in here, you've, and there may be men in here that have mixed families, maybe from children from other marriages or whatever before. And I've counseled a lot of situations where fathers are trying to figure out how to handle kids that are in the home that are not theirs. Everybody just look straight ahead. Nobody looking around. Joseph picked up and moves to Egypt for the sake of a kid that's not his. See, we never talk about that, do we? Which shows that he really believed what the angel said. He wasn't laying around at night like some of you do with some kind of idea. You're convinced your wife's having some kind of affair somewhere. She's in the shower. You're sneaking to get her phone to see who she's been texting because she was on the phone at midnight last night. She was shopping for your birthday present, but you think she's sneaking around because she didn't do something you wanted. Whoo, boy, I just went into another dimension right there, didn't I? That tells me he wasn't laying around in the tent thinking, well, I'm really wondering. He settled that. Because if there was an inkling that wasn't what the angel said, it'd be real easy to just let Herod come deal with it and say, honey, I'm sorry, And we'll just have our own family and that little character from whoever that was you were with before is over and done. But instead, he had already settled that. He went to Egypt. He didn't even realize that his obedience and settling of the issue was so strong that in his protection of that child, he was fulfilling biblical prophecy that it could be said of that one, out of Egypt have I called my son to go to the land of Israel. But he got word that Archelaus, the son of Herod, was now on the throne with the death of Herod. And so on his way back to Israel, he says, you know what? Let's don't go all the way to Jerusalem. Let's don't go all the way back to Bethlehem. Let's stop here in Galilee, and let's stay in, let's just go to this little town called Nazareth, and I'll set up shop and we'll start over. And again, protecting the child, even in the next generation. But what he didn't know is by protecting the child, he was again fulfilling prophecy so that it could be said, he will be a Nazarene. This man, Joseph, was such a just man that even his daily life of just taking care of his family fulfilled biblical prophecy. I don't know what kingdom things will be accomplished by you and I just being good, faithful, hardworking, obedient, spiritually discerning fathers. We have no idea what is being fulfilled through the children and the ministries that come out of our faithfulness. Joseph didn't wake up and go, oh, let's move so that I can be the one that the prophecy is fulfilled by. He probably didn't even know the prophecy. But his obedience and his protection of a child that was not even his own. And every time we sing, there is power in the name of Jesus. Yeah. You know where he got that name?
Yeah, that's right.
A carpenter. The man. So he didn't even know it. But when he told Mary, call that baby named Jesus. That carpenter set in the motion things that are rolling 2,000 years later. And every devil that trembles at the sound of that name, it goes back to a carpenter. And every healed body that is healed because there was a daddy that didn't even have the son of his own. But he said, you call that name Jesus, because Jesus, he shall save his people from their sins. The spirit of that earthly father got on the spirit of that heavenly father in flesh. That son of God was also the son of Joseph by spiritual obedience. There's a fulfillment by you and I be obedient, discerning, hardworking fathers. Remain standing, musicians, come. The greatest need today is for men. The greatest need in America. You know what's wrong with America? Weak men. Weak men, that's the bottom line. Men that don't know how to fight for their family. Men that don't know how to raise their family. Men that don't know how to curb their lust. Impregnating teenage friends and never waiting till adulthood and marriage. Then trading in their wife for a more updated and better looking model. And starting the cycle all over again. And all over America are broken homes and broken children and lives messed up because fathers didn't do their job. If you don't hear one thing else, leave this conference and be faithful to your wife. And be faithful to your children. And be faithful to your God. If you'll be faithful to God, faithful to your wife,
faithful to your children, we will have an apostolic revival that America has never seen just by men being faithful.
Think about this. This is man land right here, okay? How much revival would there be in the church if men had kept their pants zipped? How much more revival would there be on Sunday service if not one man in the church had looked at pornography all week? How much more revival would there be in our church if there was not one marriage in trouble because the man... Here's another one. How much more blessed would the church if every man got up and went to work? Folks, it's not hard. We're not struggling because of devils. Now, I know devils attack. Jesus went through all the cities seeing them as they were faint and scattered. That word fainted means they were harassed. They were harassed by devils. I understand that. But the reason is because there was a lot of people that let down on the job and the devil was having his way. Your children and your marriage and your finances get harassed by the devil because you're not in the position you need to be in. I don't know what these men of God are going to preach tomorrow, but it's going to be a word from God. And I know we're not running the aisles and we're not swinging from the chandeliers, but this is what we need. I thank God for every anointed woman. I believe in women in ministry. I believe in women in leadership. I believe in that. But I'll just tell you this. Women can only do so much. Let's just be honest. What was done in Mary was of the Holy Ghost. God could have very easily said, all right, Mary, have that baby. And that baby's going to be so anointed, he's going to do miracles from the womb. And it would have just been amazing. But he wanted to be a boy under a father like Joseph for 30 years. Probably according to custom, the oldest son, Joseph, seems to disappear after the Egypt return to Nazareth. Probably died. The average lifespan was 43 years old at that time. Probably died not long after the last child was born. And by rite of passage, Jesus became known as the carpenter. So how many years did Jesus run the cabinet shop? How many stones did he cut out, and how many chisels and hammers? Those nails on that cross weren't the first wood and nails. He knew the sound of the pounding of the hammer. Because his greatest work was going to be done with metal and wood on top of a stone. And so all of that was in that man, Joseph. I got a feeling there's some Josephs out there that if you only knew what God wants to do with your children, your grandchildren, and your church and your ministry. But it's not going to start by you getting called to some foreign land. That may happen. Probably not. But what will happen is the call of faithfulness is in this room right now. And I want every strong man that says, God, I want to be a man like Joseph that you would choose. Step out of that aisle, step out of that seat and come to this front, across this, as they begin to sing and play. Lift your hands and commit to a life of faithful dedication to your God, your family, to the will of the kingdom of God. Come on, men of God. We're men of God.
I will be what you've called me to be. I'll say yes. Lord, I agree. My desire passionately is to be what you call me to be. That's what I'll be.
Let's reach our hands to heaven right now. Come on, in the name of Jesus. God, I love you today. God, I glorify you, my King. Lord, I love you. I praise you. I magnify you, Jesus. God, help us, dear God, to be the fathers. Help us to be the leaders. Help us, dear God, to be the husbands you called us to be, Jesus. Mighty King. That's exactly why we have men's conference. That kind of preaching right there. Man, I just told somebody the other day, remember, for me to put in the time as a pastor that I put in as a saint in a local church. I was 34 when I went out in the ministry. And I've spent 27 years in the same church. And I watched men, I almost said this tonight before we started, I watched men that maybe back then, 15, 16 years old, I thought they're just, you know, weren't worth much. But at 52 and pastoring now for 17 years, I realized how much value that they were to that church. Not preachers, and we're definitely not against those. Not missionaries, we're not against those. We need them. But what good is a pastor with no men? What good is a missionary with no people to support the missionary? I worked a good job. I was a lineman for the telephone company. Made good money. Never asked my pastor where the money went. Never questioned what he bought, what he did, what properties the church bought, buildings the church bought, money we gave to missions. Never asked one time. Never asked why he wasn't there on work days when we were all working. He'd been there and done that. By the time I got in the church, he was already well past all of that. It wasn't like I wasn't contributing anything. It wasn't like I wasn't involved. I was making pretty good money back then. But all I cared about was supporting the church and the man of God and the mission of God. And I'm going to brag on the men of Bible Pentecostal Church for just a moment. Since August. Now, there was Thanksgiving, there was Christmas. But since August. After all day of working, after going to work at 6 o'clock in the morning and working until 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the evening, they've showed up and worked every night, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and all day Saturday, helping us build a building since August. You say, well, they're not missionaries, they're not pastors, but they're building. They're building for the future. They're building for a kid that's not even theirs. They're building for Sunday school children. They're building for families they don't even know yet. I'm going to tell you, God's given us revival, not because of just prayer and fasting, but because of faithful men that have sacrificed their time, effort, energy, their desires, put everything on hold. So you pushing them? I really don't have to. I'm there with them. I show up, and I don't show up. I don't show up in a suit and wear my off-duty preacher garb. I show up in work boots, jeans, tool bag, swing a hammer. Because I feel a whole lot more comfortable doing that than I do doing this right here. And if the Lord would allow me just to build a physical building, it'd be a whole lot easier than trying to build a church. You can swing a hammer in church like you can out there anyway. But I thank God for faith. You're here tonight because you're faithful men. Amen. You're here tonight because God called you. God chose you. God ordained you. And we're thankful for that. Can we just lift our hands one more time? What a phenomenal word. What a good word we heard tonight. What a powerful word we heard tonight. So good. So rich. So deep. My God, by your Spirit. Thank you. Heard it on that wise. It was so rich, so deep. I'm going to go back and listen to it again. There's so much there. You know, you don't even have to buy the CD, whatever. If we're not selling them, just get a copy. We'll show you. We'll give you a link We're not here to make money. We want to make strong men. We want to supply whatever it takes to build strong churches and strong families. One more time, just because God's good, give him a hand clap of praise. I will be what you called me to be. Come on, anybody say yes tonight. Come on, can anybody say yes tonight? I'm going to go back home and be the best man I can be in my church. Our family's going to get involved. Our family's going to do their part. Oh, hallelujah to God. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Let's be back tomorrow. Prayer at 10 o'clock, service at 10:30. Let's be faithful to what you came for. Amen. Golf courses are closed. All the gun shops are closed. They'll be open directly after service tomorrow. And you can go see them all and drool on them all then. But until then, we're going to be faithful men to the house of God. Amen. God bless you. Greet somebody tonight as you're dismissed in Jesus' name.